thoughts I've some thoughts I've been having about the far-reaching effects our decisions have in our lives. We can be sure that the decisions we make are going to make a difference as we continue and in through our time that God has allotted to us. We do not know how long. It doesn't even matter who we end up blaming for our problems or decisions that we've made, and we end up having problems because of it. It doesn't even matter. God is going to bring upon us what he sees best. And he's the one that decides what happens after we've made our decisions. And I just brought out a few examples of in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve had sinned, and it was, when I think of their beautiful life they had there in obedience to God, I think of marriages, how beautiful they are when there's harmony and obedience to each other, that there can be a safe place. Same thing for church. There's a safe place for, there's beauty and harmony. But when there's decisions made that are not according to what God says, I just picked out this one verse. There's like many, many examples. He had said, well, I guess he first said it to the man. God asked the questions, why? And then it said, because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat all the days. In toil you shall eat it of it all the days of your life. I guess I found this little. So the ground is cursed, and you'll be eating of that curse all the days of your life. Or I hadn't noticed that before. The point is, they disobeyed God, and they really had no say so to what God decided for them. And that's what I'd like to bring in my own life and encouragement to all of you to know that your decisions do make big differences. Our decisions, my decisions, everybody's decisions. In Numbers, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me to show my holiness before the eyes of the Israelites, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly to the land that I have given them. That one decision cost them. I don't think Adam's decision cost his salvation. I don't think the decision Moses made or Aaron that puts them together here. They both somehow were in the same sin. I'm not sure why. Moses seemed to be doing the speaking or the hitting instead of speaking. That was the commandment that he had showed he had told him to speak to the rock and not hit it, or he didn't say not hit it, but and Moses ended up hitting it, striking it. It's because he didn't trust God. Now he could not. The decision of that was, again, nothing to Moses and Aaron. But They both died before they got to, they could not go into Canaan. In some ways, I think, like the Israelites grumbled about water. And they were out in the desert, they didn't have water. And Moses, he was upset at the people because they didn't trust God. And you'd think, well, isn't there an excuse there somehow for him? It seemed like when I think of Adam and Eve, I think they had such a beautiful place. Why be tended this one tree? But for Moses, it seemed like I can almost understand why he'd get short of patience. God himself got so impatient with him at one point, he was ready to kill every one of them excepting Moses. But Moses pled for them. And then in Samuel, 2 Samuel 12, God said to David, nevertheless, this is after his sin with, I think it after his sin with even killing Uriah. And, his adultery, and God said, nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child that is born to you shall die. And there were more things that he told. There's more things that were told to him. I guess it's just the decisions we make are just, I think it's the difference between heaven and hell. I think it's a difference. We do not necessarily have the decision whether we can live here or not, but we can make decisions while we're here. God has given us that ability. God did not make Adam and Eve sin. He didn't tell them to do that. He never does that. He didn't tell Moses and Aaron to not trust him. And he didn't tell David to scorn him, to scorn God. He doesn't do that. It's because of our deeds and our will. So many years later, are still in the same flesh, and we have the same ability and liberty to disobey our Lord. And God would so much have desired. I just thought of this morning how Adam and Eve, if they would have not have disobeyed God, would still have this beautiful earth that he created. They could have still eaten of that tree of life and have life eternal. When Satan wanted to rise up to be like God, the same thing happened. He was, I think, in disobedience to God somehow or another. Doesn't say that, but he somehow wanted to be like God. I thought I'd read here in John 14, and then I'll stop. Some verses here. If you love me, John 14, 15 to 24. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you ask the Father, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you, orphan. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will not see me, but you will see me because I live. You also live. Because I live, you also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will love my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine. It is from the Father who sent me. Feel free to share.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Good admonition on faith. You didn't say it, but enduring to the end, I guess. And the spirit of unbelief has come across to anybody. Look at what happened to Moses and Aaron. That God told them, and yet perhaps they still doubted. And, that verse that says, our scripture is 2 Timothy 3:16, heard it 1,000 times. Our scripture is inspired by God, profitable things. That means every word of the scripture should be taken serious. And if you want to doubt something, then your salvation may be in jeopardy. If you don't want to accept it, it is God-breathed. How does faith come? Well, it comes by hearing the word of God. If someone's weak, what's their solution to be strong? Read it over again. And again. And read it again. It comes by hearing. And thank you, Walter. It's just one of the times it sinks in. It didn't sink into the Apostle Paul, right? He was ready to kill Christians. God had to knock him down. Almost killed him. But it had to change him. And for us, he doesn't kill us, but a lot of times it's... He has to speak to us. We have to learn the hard way. And then when we study the words, like that parable we're reading in Matthew, it's the pearl of great price. I want to do anything to praise him, to thank him, to love him, to bow before him, to serve him. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciate the thought of what we read is what we read. So I think it's what I can get from it. It's that verse in Galatians that says that God is not mocked, that whatever we reap is what we're going to sow. If we sow after the flesh, we're going to reap after the flesh. If we sow after the Spirit, we're going to reap after the Spirit. And that's in the Christian realm, you could call that the law of physics. Can't get away from it. It's going to be that way. It's as sure as gravity, as sure as seasons and all these things that God sends, otherwise it's that short. And then on the other hand, I think the promises that go with that too, reading what we sow. If we sow after the Spirit side of it, I think of somewhere in the Gospel, I think maybe a few Gospels talk about he that has left house, father, mother, wife, children, house, it'll be restored to him hundredfold, houses, brethren, lands, and then eternal life as well. So that would be a reaping of what we sowed on the spiritual and the positive end of it. So, yeah, I hear these things, and I wish I knew how to put a better application to this. But I think I overthink those things sometimes. The gospel symbol, the gospel, just walk by faith, and God will give the increase. This morning we were reading Ephesians 1, just how at the ending of that chapter it talks about Christ. How that Christ is the fullness of all things in everything. And that's a very comforting thought, how he fills everything. It's talking about the church. In the church, he does that. And so just to be a part of that is a very worthwhile thing. It says that he's over rulers, leaders, those in authority, he's over that. And then I was explaining how what I understand that to mean is that even though technically, because we're citizens of this country and this land, like Joe Biden's our president, right? But is he really? Yes, he for sure is. But it just, being that we don't really walk by his rules and his principles, he's not really our president over us. But we have to argue it out in our mind that yes, he is, because we are citizens here. But in the sense that we have chosen a different kingdom, in that sense, Christ is full in everything. Because he's over top all those. He is over all those leaders and authorities. They have their place, but for a Christian, we do not walk by their rule, their principle. We happen to be in their lands, so we abide the best we can. But like Christ, in all his fullness, has the authority, the final authority. And that's kind of comforting. Somehow I think that fits in with what we're talking about.
Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, now from hence my all shall be. Perish every fond ambition, all my sorrow. and see us horses and chariots and a people more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. For the Lord thy God is with thee. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and see us horses and chariots and a people more than thou.